Parshas Truma, as we know, is where the Torah gives us the instruction of building the Mishkan, Va'asuli Migdash, V'shachanti B'socham. And the Gemara Maseches Megillah Daf Chavtes says that there's some kind of parallelism between the Beis HaMigdash, the Mishkan, and what takes its place in our generation, which is the Beis HaKnesses. So the Gemara says very famously, Va'hi lahem l'migdash ma'at. And take note of the fact that this is a pasuk from the Navi Yecheskel. Yecheskel lived at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and he says that I will make for you a Mikdash Ma'at. And the Gemara says, we learn from there that that is a reference to Bate Knesios Ubate Medrashos. That is not a coincidence. After the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the Jewish people no longer had the opportunity to spend time in this epicenter of spirituality, they were very concerned. What's going to be? How are we going to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the Navi Yecheskel says, don't be concerned, because Ve'ahi lahem l'migdash ma'at, there is a replacement, even in this generation, which is a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash. What's fascinating is that it seems there really were no Bate Knesios before the days of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. It seems that the first reference that we have to a Beis HaKnesses is in the time of the Churban. As we're told, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the Navi Yirmiyah says, Ve'ez Beis Ha'am Sarfu HaKazdim Ba'esh. It says that the Kazdim burnt up the Beis Ha'am. And the Gemara asks, and Rashi there asks, what is Beis Ha'am? Does that mean the social center, the JCC? What exactly is the Beis Ha'am? Rashi says, Bate Knesios, that the Kazdim destroyed the Beis HaKnesses, and that is the first time that we have a mention of a Beis HaKnesses in Tanakh. Why? Because until that point, there was no need for a Beis HaKnesses. After the Churban Beis HaMikdash, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah realized, we have a problem. How are the Jewish people going to remain connected? They no longer have a Beis HaMikdash. They no longer have Karbanos. And they said, yes, it's true that everybody goes in their own corner and davens and says whatever it is that they want to articulate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the problem is, we need to keep the Jewish community together. And it's only then that the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah came up with this idea of Kaddish, Kedusha, and Baruch Hu, and the standardized text of a Siddur as we have it today. And that is what ensured that the Jewish community would remain together, because now we need a minyan. There was never a need for a minyan beforehand. Before we had Kaddish, Kedusha, Baruch Hu, there was no need for people to come and daven together, but now there was an institution of the Dvarim Shebekdusha, which require a minyan, require a Beis HaKnesses, and that is the way that this morphed into the reality as we know it today. So there is a famous dispute among the Rishonim. What exactly is the level of Kedusha to a Beis HaKnesses in our generation? And the Ran writes in the end of Maseches Megillah that when you have a Beis HaKnesses, which the whole purpose was that we should say Dvarim Shebekdusha, which were instituted by the Chachamim, therefore the Chachamim said, Hitilu bo Chachamim Kedusha midivrayim. The Chachamim said that a Beis HaKnesses has a Kedusha midrabanan, because they were the ones who mandated us to come to a Beis HaKnesses. They're also the ones who instituted that a Beis HaKnesses has some kind of level or degree of sanctity and of holiness. However, Rabbi Lazar Mimitz in the Sefer Yireim has a line where he says that a Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses. Although a Beis HaKnesses is something that came along later in history, this is part of the mitzvah of Mora HaMikdash, which is a fascinating comment. He says that this is an extension. We have a mitzvah d'araisa u'mikdashi tiro. We have a very careful instruction of how we behave in a Beis HaMikdash. And from there we derive as well, says Rabbi Lazar Mimitz, that we have to extend that to a Beis HaKnesses as well, because that is a Mikdash Me'at. That is the miniature Beis HaMikdash that we have in our generation. And therefore, he says, it goes along with that mitzvah d'araisa of u'mikdashi tiro. So, a Beis HaKnesses is certainly considered in some way an addendum to the Beis HaMikdash in a generation where we do not have. And the Halacha even writes that there are many things that are paralleled off of the Beis HaMikdash into the practice that we have in a current Beis HaKnesses today. For example, a number of examples, but one example would be about 50 years ago, Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about an issue that came to his attention. And Rav Moshe says there are many who go to visit the Kotel in Yerushalayim. And he says there was some kind of widespread practice that they would go to the Avnei HaKotel, they would go and chip off a little piece of the stone and bring it home with them. And they would put it, they wouldn't be mezalzel in it, they would put it in a big case, in a glass case, they would put it in a fancy place in their home, and they wanted to show everybody a remnant from Yerushalayim. It's not like today where our children are flying back and forth. Back then, 50 years ago, how often did the kids get to go to Eretz Yisrael? Parents saved up money for years and years. Finally, when they went, they brought home something that their kids should see what it means to be in Yerushalayim. And Rav Moshe got wind of this practice, and he was very, very upset about it. And he said that this is an absolute issur d'oraisa, lo sasum kein l'Hashem Elokeichem. You're not allowed to destroy something that belongs to the Beis HaMikdash or to the property of Hekdesh. And therefore, he says, this is something that is a totally inappropriate practice. And then he writes, maybe it's even an issur me'ila. Maybe it should be like, you've stolen something from the Beis HaMikdash, which is a further violation. Rav Moshe says, well, I don't believe that that's the case, because after all, Bo'u Pritzim Echilalua, when they came and destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, it lost much of its level of sanctity. So he says, I can't go so far to say it's Me'ila, but it's definitely an inappropriate thing to do, because Lo Sasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. The Torah says you have to destroy the Matseva, you have to destroy the Mizbeach of the Umos HaOlam that they serve Avodah Zarah on, but Lo Sasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem, you cannot behave in that manner when you're dealing with God's property. And therefore, from there, Rav Moshe says that you would not be allowed to do that. What's the halacha with regard to destroying something in a Beis HaKnesses? And I think about this often, because when I was a child, I remember I was in Breuers growing up in elementary school, and they had beautiful wooden pews in the school, in the shul upstairs, in the big shul, and they used to bring the kids up to daven mincha. When we were in 6th, 7th grade, we used to daven mincha upstairs, not with the shul, we used to just daven ourselves in the shul itself. And I remember there were always a couple of troublemakers who would take a coin and they would start scratching on the pews or on the shtenders, their initials or their names or whatever it may be. So aside from the fact that it's gzela, aside from the fact that you're certainly not allowed to do that, you're damaging somebody else's property that doesn't belong to you, aside from that, the Mordechai writes in Maseches Megillah that when you destroy something from a Beis HaKnesses, that is the same as destroying a Beis HaMikdash itself. Because that is all part of this mitzvah of Lo Sasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem. It's all part of this idea that you're not allowed to destroy the property of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And a Beis HaKnesses, the Mordechai writes, takes the place of a Beis HaMikdash, and therefore we have no right to destroy its property. So on top of the Isser of Gezel, you also have this further prohibition that applies directly to a Beis HaMikdash and to a Beis HaKnesses, which leads some Achronim to a fascinating discussion. The Psukim talk about a ir hanidachas. Every once in a blue moon, the Gemara describes how they had an ir hanidachas, and then the Gemara says maybe an ir hanidachas never actually happened. How can you have a whole city that turns into a city of Ovdei Avodah Zarah? Doesn't really make sense how that happened. But either way, the Torah gives very clear instruction that when you have an ir hanidachas, that everybody turns from serving our Kadosh Baruch Hu to now serve Avodah Zarah, the Psukim say that you have to destroy the entire city. Everything must be burnt down. So the Gemara talks about how exactly do you destroy a city, and it goes through all the details. The question that the Achronim discuss is, what about the Beis HaKnesses? Do I have a right to go into the shul and burn down the shul? After all, it's part of the city. This was all part of the same place that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, now, they are now Ovdei Avodah Zarah. If we have to destroy everything, maybe it means we have to destroy the shul as well. The problem is, how can I destroy a shul? Isn't that an issur d'oraisa of Lo Sasun Kein L'Hashem Elokeichem? And this is a very lengthy discussion in the modern day Achronim, where they have a lot to say about this issue and whether or not it will go back to that original prohibition of destroying something which is the property of a Beis HaMikdash itself. So again, this comes up in many different areas where we find that there is some kind of parallel between the laws that govern a Beis HaMikdash and the laws that govern a Beis HaKnesses. Take for another example. Shulchan Aruch says in Simen Kuf Nun, that's Hilchos Beis HaKnesses, when you're trying to construct the plans for how we're going to build the new Beis HaKnesses in our community, so the Shulchan Aruch says, Ein poschen Pesach Beis HaKnesses, ela keneged hatzad shemispalelim bo ba'osa ha'ir. So if in our city we all daven toward Mizrach because that faces Yerushalayim, then says the Mechaber, you should have the doors, the entrance to the Beis HaKnesses should be on the opposite end. Why? Because as a person walks into the shul, yishtachave min ha-pesach neged aron. As you walk into shul, you should bow your head, because you're entering a makom kadosh, you're entering a Beis HaKnesses, and therefore it would make sense that the doors to the shul should be on the opposite end of the way that the shul is facing. That's what the Shulchan Aruch writes. Where does this come from? It comes from a Tosefta. And there the Rosh writes in Maseches Megillah, that Zeh Haya B'Yemeim Shayim Mispalim L'Mayrav. He says, when they used to daven in the direction toward the west, then the doors had to be on the east. When we daven toward the east, then the doors have to be on the west. And the way this is explained is because the same way in the Beis HaMikdash, the doors, the entryway was opposite the way that all the Avodah was done. If you looked forward, that's what you saw. So too, that is the way we pattern the construction of a Beis HaKnesses today, because we wanted to have the very same kind of rules that govern a Beis HaMikdash should also govern the Beis HaKnesses as well. This comes up in a fascinating way. The Stechemed has a very interesting discussion that came up in Europe about 100 years ago. And the Stechemed says that this was really the cause of a big machlokus in town. So what happened? The story was that Rav Meir Shapiro, who is very well known for instituting the Daf Yomi, Rav Meir Shapiro is also well known for being the Rosh Hashiva of Yeshivas Chachmei Lublin. What Rav Meir Shapiro is not as well known for is he was also the Rav of Pietrakov. He was the Rav of a city, it was a well-known town in Europe, called Pietrakov. When he came to the city, his first winter that he was there, the Balabatim and the Shul came and asked him a shayla. What was the shayla? They wanted to know, do we have a right to install a heating system into our Beis HaKnesses? After all, it was freezing. It was in Europe, the middle of the winter. So he wasn't sure, am I being framed? Like, why did they never ask the shayla beforehand? I just became the rabbi here, and now I'm confronting my first winter. Why are they asking me the shayla? How come they've never asked the question before? So he wasn't sure exactly what to do. So he was smart. He decided he's going to go to the Chartkova Rebbe, who also lived locally, and he would ask him, is this a setup? Is this a frame? Let me discuss it with somebody else, get a second opinion. Maybe I'm missing something here. So he goes to the Chartkova Rebbe, who is also known to be a great Talmud Chacham, and he discusses the Shaila with him. Is there any objection to putting a heating system in a Beis HaKnesses? If our shul wants to pay for it, should there be any problem? So they were thinking, they were discussing, and they came up with the following idea, which is fascinating. Obviously, we don't accept this, but it was interesting to hear about the thought process that they had of these two gedolim when confronted with this question about putting in a heating system. So what do they say? We have a Gemara Maseches Sanhedrin, Daf Yud Ches, where the Gemara there talks about Ibur Hashana. Every so often, you have to add another month, you have to add another few days to a given month. Why? Because we have to make sure that the calendar is regulated. So in order to make sure that the calendar is regulated in the proper way for the convenience of the entire Klal Yisrael, sometimes we need to add days or we need to add a month, and that is something that the Gemara discusses. What kind of Dayanim do you need to add a month and how many are necessary? So the Gemara says, whoever is going to make the decision about whether or not we should do Ibur Hashana, you are not allowed to have the Kohen Gadol involved in that conversation. Why not? The Kohen Gadol was probably one of the holiest men in the Jewish community. He was probably an Ish Ne'eman, he was probably believed, and I'm sure he had the greatest of interest for Klal Yisrael in mind. After all, his whole life was dedicated to the service of Klal Yisrael. So why is a Kohen Gadol disqualified from this discussion of whether or not we do an Ibur Hashanah? So the Gemara there says the following. Because on Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol has to walk around the entire day barefoot, and it's probably going to be very cold for him because he has to go in the mikveh, out of the mikveh, four or five times on Yom Kippur, in the mikveh and out, and he's probably going to be cold as he's walking around the floor. So of course the Kohen Gadol is going to say we shouldn't do Ibur Hashanah, because if you're going to have Yom Kippur a month later in November instead of in October, he's going to be much colder. So therefore, he's disqualified because he has his own vested interest in mind here. And since we don't want him to have any personal negia, therefore we say he is disqualified from the whole discussion, from the whole conversation. He cannot be involved. So as for Meir Shapiro, it's a very nice discussion that the Gemara has. It's a little bit hard to understand. Do we really have a chashad that the Kohen Gadol is going to make up a whole thing just because he's looking out for himself? It's hard to understand that. But either way, he says, why didn't you have a simple etzah? Just put a heater in the Beis HaMikdash. Put a heater in the Beis HaMikdash and the Kohen Gadol won't have any problem. Yes, he's cold, he's walking around barefoot, he's going in the mikveh, out of the mikveh. We have one very simple etzah. Put a heating system in the Beis HaMikdash, and then he won't be cold anymore. And then we don't have to disqualify him from the Ibur Hashanah because he's the same as everybody else. And he'll take the Jewish community's concerns into account, and he'll decide whether Ibur Hashanah is appropriate or not. And the answer, said Rav Meir Shapiro, is it must be that there's an Isser to have such an apparatus in the Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he said, maybe you're not allowed to install it into a Beis HaKnesses either, because we learn the laws of a Beis HaKnesses from the construction of the Beis HaMikdash itself. Once again, that is a tremendous chiddush, which obviously and thankfully we do not accept. And we all know that we have the right to put on all these gadgets and all these heating elements and air conditioning systems that are going to help inspire and make our tefillah more meaningful. But it's fascinating to see that the thought process was such that everything in a Beis HaKnesses needs to be patterned off the way that a Beis HaMikdash was constructed and the way that a Beis HaMikdash was lived in. And therefore, when it came to this discussion as well, that was something that was on the forefront of their minds to try to determine whether or not the halacha would allow this, or potentially it would have an objection.